Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Yearning for a little extra Andy's Girls bonus content? Well, OMG, you guys. Join the sassy Andy's Girls community at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. You're going to get exclusive bonus episodes, including one with Amanda Hirsch, this week's Andy's Girls guest, where we break down all things Love is Blind. And of course, talk a little bit more about Real Housewives of New Jersey and some Real Housewives of New York. Go to patreon.com/Andy's Girls. It's the number one most important way to get exclusive bonus content and also, you know, support the pod itself. Just a couple shekels will give you so much in return. And by you, I mean me and my checking savings. All right, guys, enjoy this week's episode of Andy's Girls and a bonus app available online. Enjoy. Love may be blind, but my sass has perfect vision.
I keep it real to your face, but also behind your back. I didn't know we're doing a voice.
That's just my normal voice. I'm just very sultry and very sexy. Tell all your friends. You guys, it's Andy's
I was like,
Girls.
Shit, I didn't prepare like the sass.
It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 149. And I am so excited to be joined by a fellow certified Bravoholic. Our licenses are in the mail. Amanda Hirsch, the brains, brawn, and beauty behind the viral Instagram account, Not Skinny But Not Fat.
Can I like record that? And can you give it to me for my podcast?
Of course you can.
Do you remember when we used to like record voicemails? Like have your voicemail box have a recording, be like, leave a message, but you would do it?
Wait, I think mine is me.
No, but when you were younger, didn't you do like crazier shit? Or was it just
I got in trouble for doing voicemails that were to the tune of like, you have reached 88435. And my dad would yell at me because my dad's a lawyer and he was like, you can't do that. Like, clients call the house.
So I would want that to be my, I did like Miss Swan. Like, that would be not acceptable today for those of you who watch Mad TV.
I don't know who Miss Swan. Oh no, is that an Asian impersonation that's super racist?
But like, it was on Mad TV for years. She was a character for years.
Oh yeah, what's her face? She's
Alex something.
She has won 2 Emmys, I want to say, for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Right, that's her. You got
Alex Bornstein.
Right, you got it.
Holy shit.
So I was obsessed with now I sound like an awful person, but it was it was on cut it in post, please. But my point is, I would want that to be my voicemail.
Well, I am so appreciative that you're here, Amanda Hirsch. Tell me, so we met last spring.
It was March 15th, I remember. Isn't that crazy?
How do you remember the date?
I don't. It's probably not March 15th. I don't think it's March 15th at all. But it was last spring.
It was last spring, which has flown by, not in a great way. I feel like we lost a year. I don't know why. I feel like the last year. Right? It's weird. At Bravo, because they were doing a day of like thanks or something, yeah, for, which was like the best day of my life until, right, BravoCon. So now it's like the top two in my life are, yeah, BravoHolics event and then BravoCon.
We
like
got sworn in.
We got sworn in.
And then we were not many people, which I was like, okay, thanks. If there were like 200 people, I'd be like, bye. But there were like 20.
Yeah, that's, and people flew in. That was the crazy thing. I just assumed everyone was from New York.
No, how gross am I? I was like, can't believe I have to like take a cab home and like go back to, you know, Watch What Happens Live. It's such like, how am I going to do it? Like there's traffic. And meanwhile, people are like, they're from Georgia.
Wait, I don't
think
you understand.
And I'm complaining to them about like having to commute from my Upper East Side apartment to downtown.
Wait, I don't think you understand. I was doing the exact same thing and it was rainy. And I was like, I can't believe I've just spent $20 and I literally got a blowout because I'm an insane person. But my hair like completely frizzed, did like the little curl on the way. And I'm like, can't believe I just wasted like 30 and I used like a coupon or something for it. And then
did
I'm like,
you complain to the people though that came from Texas?
No, I think
that's what
I did my typical thing, which is just complaining 24/7 inside of my head. So I have like a list of grievances
to those people and they were like, we flew in, and I'm like, that is so amazing. But really it is.
I think we're very fortunate that we live in New York, so mm-hmm. that it's like there's a lot of action that happens here and there's a lot of action that happens in LA. But mm-hmm. because Andy,
true,
and his world and Watch What happens here, we get a lot of Bravo traffic, which, yeah, is nice too. So like the Atlanta people are here, Beverly Hills is here constantly, Orange County is,
right,
here constantly,
because they come into also the Bravo HQ to do like interviews and stuff, right, all the time. Yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have, so you have your podcast, mm-hmm. Can you walk me through the journey of starting your Instagram account, yeah, your audience is huge, starting your podcast, and what your focus has been?
Yes, I'll do it short and sweet. When I was living in Israel for like 5 years. Between,
are you Israeli?
I'm half, yeah.
Love.
My mom's Israeli.
Amazing.
Yeah, Bravo just started like an Indian family show. And I'm like, can we do like an Israeli family?
So the that show is starting on Sunday.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from people that have seen screeners, it's supposed to be like A++. Like, you know how Shaws of Sunset is all trash, garbage people?
I don't watch it.
Oh, don't start now. And I have seen every episode. I'm not proud of it. But like this new show, I think it's called Family Values or something. I forget the name
Karma.
Of it.
Karma.
Okay, great. Is supposed to be like nice, good people. People with their family. No, there should be an Israeli show. It's crazy that there isn't. Anyway,
So I came back with my husband in 2015 after spending 5 years in Israel, and it was depressing. Like, I thought coming back to New York was like, I'm from New York, like pretty much like gonna move there, be the editor of Vogue. I was literally living in Israel, you guys. I'm not joking. I was living in Israel working like random jobs, always telling my husband, who was then my boyfriend, like, if I was in New York, like, I would be like
killing
such hot shit. And because of you, I'm here. Because what happened was, I went to Israel, long story short, for a vacation after college, met him, stayed for 5 years, got married.
Wow. For a vacation after,
yeah,
college.
I canceled my flight back and stayed with him.
You know, if had you met him on Birthright, they would have paid for the wedding. That's what they kept telling us. They're like, we'll pay for your wedding. We'll buy you a house.
I couldn't do
Birthright.
Oh, because
you're half as,
yeah,
oh, okay,
I tried to like rig the system and get in to Birthright and get a free trip. Believe me,
it was, and I couldn't believe it was free the entire time. I was like, is it free? It is 100%.
Did you make out with a soldier or no?
No, although there was a soldier that was like back when Facebook was a thing who we would like DM each other. I don't remember. It was like late at night. What's his name? Oh god, I forgot.
Listen,
very
I didn't get a lot of, I know, surprising you guys, but I didn't have a lot of like boyfriends and stuff. So my mom would always say, like, if we still have an issue with you by like the time you're older, like, I'm shipping you to Israel, because guys in Israel are much more like forward, or much more, I don't know. It's like a different, American guys will like look at you and like not speak to you. Like, I can't deal with that.
And Israeli guys are just like 900% of the time gorgeous.
And also like aggressive a little bit,
but like in a not in a consenting way.
Yeah, not in a rapey way.
So wait, so you're in Israel.
I digress, sorry. So in Israel, 5 years, we get married after 5 years, and I'm like, wait, my family, like, New York. So we come back as like, let's, you know, try it here in a very like chill, like, as if I'm this like carefree, like, bounce around the world person, like, who the F do I think I am? Curse or no?
Oh yeah, call anybody a cunt. You're welcome to. We're cunt friendly here.
So I got back, and I suffer from anxiety and stuff, but it hadn't come up for a while, and then got here, and it was like, like dark, and we were staying with my mom, and like, love my mom, but like, when you're out of the house for a long time, like, staying with your family again, like, can murder your soul.
That would be my number one trigger.
Even though, like, my mom, like, is my heart, but, like, living with her and with my husband, who's, like, used to being in boxers and, like, has to be dressed all the time. And and so we were struggling. Like, I was struggling. And it was funny because before we came, I was like, you know, my husband's going to have such an issue, but I'm going to be, like, his rock. I was, like, the mess. Like, he was much better than I was. So I fell into kind of, like, a dark hole. And I would see, and I've always written. I was a writing like minor in college. I've always had journals. I started even fucking writing a book. I had a blog. So I saw that people were like writing on Instagram too, and like being funny. And I was just like, oh, that's like, could be a place for that. You know those thoughts you have when you go to sleep at night that you're like, tomorrow I'm gonna like be a vegan. So like, that was my late night thought.
Wow.
Except it was like, I'm gonna open an Instagram. I'm gonna call it Not Skinny But Not Fat. It was like, and the name also just came to me.
It's such a good name.
I know, but it's like how I felt my whole life, you know. And I think only after I named the podcast, the Instagram, that did I realize that it means so much more than like literally.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Living in a world of in between.
And everyone gets it. I'm like, how does everyone get it?
No, we all get it.
You all get it.
And it can be related to someone's weight or personality or status with relationships or work. It genuinely translates.
And like, I didn't even really realize, again, it was like that thought that you have at night. You're like, oh my God, like, I can open an Instagram. I can write things that are funny. Maybe it'll make me feel good. Maybe people will relate to it. And then I thought about that name literally mostly because my whole life, like, you know, I wasn't stick thin. I had a lot of friends that were. I always felt like weird, kind of, that I wasn't, but not always weird. But when you're 12 and you have like a butt and thighs and boobs and like you got your period first, you're like, hey, you know, like, you feel kind of weird, or you have people being like, guys like that, you know, when you're 14, and you're also like, listen, what, they want to grab something, when do they want to grab that, like, and right. Then you realize when they want to grab it, you know, when you're boning. So I struggled with that in life, not in a like insecure way. I was like heavier than I am now, like, I look great, you guys, but I'm just saying, like, there were times where I was heavier and I was even more confident than today. Like, I really think that's possible. I think it's so about how you
feel. Yeah.
And how your parents, you know, my mom, I grew up in a house where my mom was like, who's the little pretty girl in the mirror, you know? And I'm like, okay, you know, like, that's, I believe that, like, raise your kids, make them think they're gorgeous, amazing, and talented, and they'll believe that, like,
find,
you know,
their worth outside the scale.
Yeah. So basically it started like mostly about me, like, I don't even like calling them memes, like liners about like weight stuff or like, and people, wasn't even thinking of followers. I wasn't even thinking about like growth or what an influencer is or anything like that. It was just like, I want to write these things. And then people, you know, the nature of those kinds of things, like, people tag people and send them to people, and then big accounts took them and sometimes credited me, sometimes didn't. But it was a lot about like eating and, you know, how you eat a lot on weekends, and then during the week you like eat salad, on the weekend you eat, you know, bagels and pizza all day, and, you know, bloatedness, and everyone like relates to, you know, struggles that we have with our body that are funny. Like, it's so fun. If my friend texts me and is like, I feel so fat, I ate 7 ice creams, I'll like lull my ass off. It's so funny to me, you know, eating and, you know, then feeling bad about it or not feeling bad about it or allowing yourself to pig out and eat pizza. And I love that. And I feel like a lot of people relate to stuff about like food and weight. So it started kind of like that, turning into like more, then stories became a thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I like showed who I am. Then it was like, wait, I love reality TV and celebrities. Maybe I should like share that with these people who follow me. So it became that too.
And now you're doing a lot of recapping, which I love.
You do.
So you have your closed captioning on your screen and then you're doing video. So I feel like I am constantly, but I do it after I watch the show. Mm-hmm. So I'll watch your recap of shows.
Oh, really?
So what's your favorite on and off Bravo? What's your favorite show to recap?
Well, my baby and Pian, like what started me on this recapping was Bachelor. Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, great.
It was Vanderpump. What happened with Vanderpump Rules is one of my followers was like, do you watch Vanderpump Rules? And I was like, no. They were like, you have to watch it. And it's like something I understood, like how critical this was. Mm-hmm. Like it was important. So many people were saying this to me. And this person came at the right day, at the right time where I was like, episode one, season one, you know, let's fucking do this. And I don't know why I thought it was like okay to come to people 7 years later and be like, oh my God, Jax is like being so mean to Stassi. That's like so crazy. Like how no one like literally like was like, bitch, like no, you're 7 years late. Jax is like married. And no one ruined it for me. No one even said like Jax and Stassi break up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy. Like Kristen and Tom, like if someone started posting season one and like I saw Kristen and Tom together, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
It like, feels impossible. I cannot believe that they were together for so many years. I cannot believe that they lived together. I cannot believe that it was actually true that Jax and Kristen fucked on Tom's couch watching Drive or whatever.
Can you imagine being me in 2000 and, you know, early 2019 discovering this shit show for the first time? Being like, you guys, this is the craziest reality television ever. It's 5 cheating scandals in one episode. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was when my recapping was like, and obviously I wouldn't keep doing it if I wasn't getting like positive responses and people were liking it and wanting me to do more. But Vanderpump was, first of all, my baby in that. It's what brought me into Bravo, like the whole world of Bravo, mm-hmm. much like, that's what put me like really like in Bravo. Mm-hmm. Cause I always watched Housewives and stuff, but this was like an obsession. And also a like, I really felt at the time and I'm trying to be, cause I'm on season 8 right now, you guys. I don't know that we can compare it to, you know, season 1 through 3, for example.
It feels like it's the hardest watch that I have during, before, and after of any show on Bravo right now. And I will say that Shaw's to me is better. In that Shaw's, I might feel bad about myself before I press play when I'm watching it, when I'm like, these are horrible people. Like, why are we celebrating? But then I watch it, I'm like, you know what? They fucking suck me in. Like, there's shit happening. There's craziness. They're breaking down the fourth wall a little bit and showing how people are using their social media to bury other people.
Ugh, I love breaking up the fourth wall.
I love it. But then Pump, I'm watching it and I'm like, this feels so manufactured. The most recent episode with that bullshit of Tom Sandoval doing those commercials that I thought, I got what they were doing. Like they were trying to be like Bachelor in Paradise, like trying to be cheeky. It didn't work. It wasn't successful. And I feel like, why are we, I cannot believe that Jax and Brittany haven't gotten married yet. This is going to be the longest stretch of a wedding that I could not care less about in the entirety of Bravo weddings. I hate both of these people. I think they are trash garbage. If you guys follow me on Patreon, at the most recent Patreon, I just, like, a fire was lit after I recorded
last
week's.
Did he block Andy's you?
No, I don't tag him in anything.
Okay.
But I've seen like all of his tweets are like he now uses a cross emoji because we all just need to know that Jesus comes from within or whatever the fuck. Except like he's not from within.
Listen,
him. He's a monster. And what they're doing is people look at homophobia and they think, oh, homophobia is saying I hate gay people. No, I mean that is sure an aspect of it, but homophobia and supporting a homophobic environment is not standing up for allies when you need to, when there's something at risk, and burying people and using bisexuality as an insult laugh line, I think is horrifying. I think they are both horrible garbage people. And can we just get the wedding over with so we can go back to life?
And well said, Sarah. Sorry. I love it. I didn't know you were so savage.
I mean, yeah, I'm a little bit cutthroat. I'm on like a zero. I'm having a zero fucks morning, having off the zero fucks week.
I love it because I think I've realized how awful Jax is with the pastor thing.
Yeah.
I always knew he was like a dick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Obviously he's a dick. Like, right. If anyone says he's not, like, whatever, you don't know anything. And I think I put this, this is a realization I also came to with this season, is like when Brittany got so upset about, people like mocking her marrying him, and Brittany don't do it, which like, it was so dumb. Like, doesn't she get that it's a joke and like everyone does it? And like, I felt like, and I said this to my followers too, I was like, listen, I know this is unpopular opinion, because I do think Brittany is very loved as like the sweet Kentucky girl. I think she, you know, is on this train with Jax because she wanted to be part of the success. Like, that's 100% what I think.
So people would say that to me on Andy Scrolls, let's say like a season, two seasons ago. And I would be like, I don't see. I was surprised. I can't remember who it was, but someone was like, Brittany is I like her the least out of anybody in the show. And I was always surprised because I was like, Brittany? Like, she just seemed like someone that was sort of almost like manipulated into this relationship. And now I'm getting it. Mm. Like, sometimes I was like that with Phaedra on Atlanta, where I didn't see the wheels turning as well as other people. And now it's like a couple years later and I'm like, oh my God, that is exactly right. Like, I was wrong. Number two, if you look back and think about the trajectory of their relationship, of course there's a reason she's marrying them. Of course there's a reason that, including the show, but aside from the show,
supports it.
Right.
Which, well, I feel like her family is also like, you'll have a good life. You know, he has money now. Like, he has cars. Like, they made, a lot of people are surprised they bought homes. You guys, 8 seasons, they saved up. They lived in shitholes. Like, let's remember, they paid, you know, Ariana, I remember, told me her apartment with Tom was like $1,400 or something. They were paying $700. They saved up for years to be able to do this. So they have money. You know what I mean?
And also there's a reason that those two homes, Katie and Schwartz and Jax and Brittany's, look identical, because I think that they got some kind of crazy massive discount in Valley Village. I feel like every time they show Valley Village, I'm like, I feel like this is an ad for whomever is the developer of this. And good for them, by the way. They probably got it like half off or some sort of crazy discount.
Yeah.
Which, God bless. But also, why is this show so bad? And I feel like Dana was a great addition. I initially felt weird about her. Now I'm like, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. My only thing is like, ease us into the new people.
Yeah.
Don't make them the only storyline right now is like Dana and Max, and they're both new. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
If Dana was fucking Sandoval, I mean, it wouldn't make sense because he's with Ariana, but one of the OGs, then okay, make it a main storyline. You're showing us two new people. Let us like ease into them. I don't need to see them in their pajamas right away going to sleep and she's like in a thong or whatever. Let me ease in. I don't care about Charlie at all. I don't want to see her on a date with Brett.
Talking about how she hasn't eaten guacamole or something, or an avocado, which makes
avocado or pasta,
which is so strange.
So annoying.
Because she thinks she's funny. That's the problem, is when people come on the show and they think they're funny and they're not, but they're not funny enough for me to
because
laugh.
Because it's a second, because comedians do this, right? If something's funny, they'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you didn't eat pasta isn't fun. Like, you shouldn't be repeating it more than once.
And like, what's the point of saying, because you think you look like quirky? Skinny? Like, this isn't whimsical. This isn't like whimsy to me. Like, oh my God, you guys, I've never had penne. Can you imagine your personality is like, I haven't had spaghetti before? Oh, like, God. What happened in your life to make you
so
think?
Bad.
My Myers-Briggs is that I haven't had rigatoni.
I agree with you so much that it's manufactured. And sadly, because I told you, they're my babies. I love them. They, you know, I'm rooting for them. I mean, not love them all, but I love the show. And I mean, let's put aside the obvious things that they have money now. Obviously different from them living in, you know, it was much more relatable then. Mm-hmm. I mean, not relatable, because I'd always be like, I don't drink that much or like cheat on people. Maybe I should. Like, maybe that's fun, you know? I definitely felt like I don't drink enough. I was like, I should drink more. Like, I remember really feeling that. Like, I was, you know, when you get sucked into a binge and you're like, if I was watching Mad Men, like, I'd be smoking a pack of cigarettes and like, like, that's what I did with Mad Men. I'm like so easily influenced. But I think, I mean, they're all getting hair and makeup done before each scene,
right?
You know, eyelash extensions, like the whole shebang. That's even like, how can I take it seriously when I know you got prepared for the scene for 45 minutes? Your hair is in place. You have eyelash extensions. You have the whole shebang. We, you know, I remember seeing on Instagram, like, people posting, like, one of the scenes at Tom Tom, like, how it looks with the cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? And I was like, oh, my God. And, but I will say this. I talked to a lot of Vanderpump people. It's for real.
You mean cast?
Yeah. It's for real. I'll post recaps and I'll get DMs from the cast who were in the specific altercation being like still angry about it, telling me about it, wanting me to understand their side. And I'm like, no, they're legit like that. Like, even if there had to be a reshoot and even if it's not, it feels manufactured, it's real.
I also feel like that's an indicator, the reality of it, plus the success and popularity and financial growth that they've been able to have from it. It makes me think that this is not an endless kind of show. There are franchises on Bravo that can continue to exist and go on and on and on. And I would put Housewives as like the number one there because people are constantly coming in, coming out. Mm-hmm. You're following someone's life. And this is because it started with a core group of friends and those friends going through their struggle and then like growing up mostly together. At some point, we're going to reach the point of like maturity where we're going to see that Jax is going to be 45 and still human garbage. And now he's got a kid and is going through a divorce and whatever happens with Katie and Schwartz, and whatever. But it's, we've sort of seen enough of this.
Yeah.
Like if we're pretending sadly, this is like the Bravo Truman show, like
it's, sadly, I agree.
They've reached the door.
Especially because aside from Stassi, no one's really doing anything aside from the show.
Yeah, I don't know that they've been able to monetize it as successfully as she has.
Not even monetize because they're making money, but like...
brand?
Yeah, anything. Like, Katie had the pucker and pout. She doesn't have that. I don't think she's doing that anymore. She had like a blog thing.
On a different scale, Tom and Ariana with the cocktail book, which I actually think is adorable and it would is. I need to buy it, but I don't make cocktails.
Team Ariana and Tom this season for sure. Ariana, you know, and I said this to her when she was on my podcast too, like she intimidated me when she first came on and I was like, she thinks she's better and blah blah blah.
She came off as super cold,
but she is the nicest, sweetest person on the show, I think. And I think she's real and I think she's really struggling for real there. And I think her and Tom aren't there anymore with those people. Do you get what I mean? Like, I think they moved on. I think they're not true friends to each other anymore. You know what I think? You know what I mean? And I'm team Sandoval. So many people were so mad at him from the Stassi thing with the book signing to this pastor thing. And I'm like, this group has literally done disgusting things to each other. Like, Jax literally fucked Kristen when Tom was sleeping and they were best friends and Kristen was best friends with Stassi. So you're going to tell me Tom is like Satan for saying, hey, Jax, which is what housewives do all the fucking time. Right. Say, hey, I heard blah, blah, blah. No one gets mad at anyone for that. You know what I mean? When people spill other people's shit, they know that's part of the show. You need to like bring the drama. So you're like, hey, I heard so-and-so said. Why do people get so mad at Sandoval for bringing something up?
I don't know. And I feel like Jax has been throwing him under for years.
Yeah. And, and finally succeeding, I feel like.
Yeah. Although I think that the audience overall is definitely on
Sarah.
Really? And are they anti Tom and pro Jax or just anti Tom? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they like thinking about it as a team?
I don't think he gets so much. I think the pastor thing, and sadly, I'll say this, I didn't get a lot of messages about like, you know, justifying the way I feel. Because what I was saying is, I agree 100% with Tom, you know, that they would continue with that pastor unless the only reason they didn't was because people found out about it.
Lisa. The second time. People found out about it the first time. She responded on Watch What Happens. Her castmates all clapped around her except for Ariana. And Sheena, like, looked at Ariana at least while she was clapping. And they weren't going to do a fucking thing until it became more viral when people were calling out Lisa for supporting it indirectly.
That's what's weird that. You see that. You see that they wouldn't. And I was saying, like, what's so hard? Like, he's a family friend. But if you find out that he's an awful... You find out. Yeah, I'm doing air quotes. Change the fucking pastor.
No, they don't. They don't. They want their... It's, as Jack said, it's like, it's all about me. Like, they want their wedding how they want it. And they don't feel... They feel like homophobia can be best compared to having an opinion and everybody should hear each other and we don't have to agree. And I just think that there's a line when it comes to, like, racism, misogyny, sexism, homophobia. Like, we cannot pretend that it's okay for some person to have an opinion that affects another person's actual value of life. Like, that's where I draw the line, where I'm like, no, it's not about, like, we all have an opinion and should come together. I'm like, no, you need to call that shit out.
Yeah.
Like,
so I agreed. I was team Ariana and I think Tom, I think Jax got so mad because he thought it's all about the way they look on the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was what was so obvious. And it wasn't breaking the fourth wall, but it was him getting up so dramatically and saying to Tom, I'm not going to talk about this right now.
Because I don't want that to be my storyline.
Right. The subtext is, there are cameras here. You're doing this on purpose because you want me to look bad on camera to the people. I took care of it. I fixed my image. I took Lance Bass. This is under the rug. This is old news. And Tom brought it back to life. What I hated to see was everyone screaming at him and, you know, protecting poor Brittany.
Yeah.
It was sick. What are you protecting her from? Like, what's happening? She was screaming at Jax to beat him up. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was very shocking to me. And I was disappointed in some people, some of the cast that, like, you know, Lala, aren't you feminist?
Right?
Like, number one.
Yeah.
Katie usually has more. Yeah. It's like, poor Brittany. Like, don't tell her, you know, pastor is, you know, what? Like, and then going from, who said it? I think James is making kind of funny remarks.
James's impersonations are everything I've ever needed in my entire life.
But I love that he also was like, you're going from a homophobic pastor to the most, like, out gay person in, like, pop culture. Like, that's funny. Like, that's a little, like, look how good we look now, mom.
And it's a little late.
So I don't buy it. I think, like, saying they didn't know is bullshit. Obviously, Tom and Ariana kept saying, you knew. We tagged you and shit. You would put up your names. It would come up. So it does sadden me that I have to say the general response from my followers, not in a bad way. No one was telling me, like, you're wrong or whatever, but I could tell that it wasn't like, yeah, Tom is right and Ariana is right. And it was kind of like, yeah, it didn't feel like the people felt so strongly about how they acted. Just
so,
me.
So you feel very strongly about Pump Rules. You're going to continue to watch, but you don't enjoy it as much as, like, OG.
But when you were talking, I think you were saying really, like, valid things. Like, I can't see it continuing so far, and I don't know, because then I asked myself an internal important question, if, let's say, all the OGs left and we stayed with, like, new people, if I would watch.
Well, the problem, and again, the problem for them is that the show popped off because of a very specific group of people.
Right.
Now, while their circumstances have changed, they are still
friends.
Right. And they are still those people. So what happens when they start to go? Like, what are you left with, and why was it magical? I had someone that slid into my DMs that said that they were told, I'm so sorry, I forget who this was, but that they were told that the Vegas cocktail garden bullshit, like, there's a true spinoff that's going to happen.
Oh, really?
But I don't know, because you know how they have, like, a online platform or an app or something that they're starting to shift stuff to, where they're doing more, like, online content.
Like,
I don't,
Stassi's show.
Yeah, which
did
I
you
never,
watch it?
I didn't.
I heard it isn't very good.
Yeah, it's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
I also feel like at a certain point there are certain things that I can't do. Like, I can't do the new Below Deck. I didn't do the original Below Deck this season. Like, I just can't.
Would
I can't
you
do
a show with, like, new Vanderpump people?
It's not that I wouldn't uniformly. I just don't think what's working now is enough
yeah.
for the show to continue to be something.
You're so right about that. And it's funny because when I had Katie on, I remember she was like, you know, Vanderpump will continue forever. She was like, my ashes will be spread at the back parking lot of Sir. I'm Sir. That's a line. That's a good line. It is a good line. I feel like that's like her line.
Good for her. Good for her for having something.
She's
got that one thing.
Oh my God. The thing, yeah, I hoped more from them. You know what I mean? Like, I think Stassi is hustling. Like, do you remember at BravoCon? Let me take a minute. Do you remember at BravoCon at the VPR panel? First of all, the moderator, sorry woman, but like, no.
I don't know who it was. I didn't go to it. I was at something. I know I didn't go to it because I thought it was just going to be the 60 minute.
Bye.
I know. I thought it was just going to be the 60 minute premiere. And there was something else that was in that.
First of all, you didn't watch the premiere there?
No, because I was like, I don't give a shit about seeing something a month in advance when I could be seeing live panels. There was something happening. I think there was a producer panel and I was like, I have to go to that. And for me, giving up an hour to see something that I'm more than happy to watch in a month and having that be an hour of a 2 hour block made no sense. But it sounds like it was fantastic.
I feel like watching the premiere in like a room of
with other people
felt really magical because we were laughing. Like, yeah. I don't laugh really by myself when I watch Vanderpump, you know, but it was like things that Sheena, like her edits, like everyone was
poor,
laughing.
Poor, like literally and figuratively, poor Sheena can't get a break.
Poor Sheena. The editors loved editing her. Yeah.
Bearing her.
But so that it was fun. But then they came out and the panel was kind of, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't too good. But what I was shocked at, and like, I went alone, you guys. So I was literally like looking around me like, oh my God, you guys. Right. And like, no one was looking at me. But the moderator was like, so like, she asked the audience, she goes, audience, like, who's the most famous here? Like the most popular person. Oof. The whole audience unanimously. Stassi. I'm like, okay. And then she goes to the cast and is like, what do you guys think? Katie, Stassi.
Okay, that's shady, which is good.
Katie, Stassi, Brittany, Stassi, blah, blah, blah. The only people who didn't say Stassi were...
Stassi, maybe? To be humble?
She said me.
Okay, great.
No, humble is in her middle name. I think Sandoval was like, I don't know, it depends on like the season, yeah, or whatever, which obviously gives them ammunition against Sandy for like being jealous of her.
Yeah.
And then they even asked Lisa, the moderator, and Lisa's like, well, you know, I can't okay, Stassi. And I was like, I am mortified. I'm cringing, you know, it's just so like, it doesn't make sense to me for one person to be, she's not Kim, you know, like the Kardashians, like, yeah, Kim started this whole shit, whatever, even though Kylie's surpassing her. But I really hoped more from like the rest of the cast. Stassi's doing mad shit. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to talk about the future of the franchise and how these like personalities in some ways have curdled, hers has been the easiest to expand, where it's like, I take no bullshit and I watch Game of Thrones and I'm like funny and sassy and sometimes hurtful, but like, that's me. Like, they haven't been able to, because I don't think people connected to them. I don't know if it's the age or the fact that it's a lot of women that watch Pump Rules or whatever, but people see themselves in Stassi or wish that they were as unfiltered as Stassi. She's kind of like the good witch version of Brandy Glanville, where people sort of like, but then Brandy Glanville like completely bananas, bonkers, like went way too far. Whereas with Stassi, she's still kind of towing that line where even if she's bratty, it's like she still can be funny. You know,
she is funny. The thing is, I feel like there's a real disconnect between, for me, like Stassi on Vanderpump is like so funny, has amazing one-liners, analogies from
she's
the beginning
very
of the show.
Well, she's generously edited.
You think so?
Yeah. Wait, what were you going to say?
No, that I'm just saying, like, I think, like, following her on social media, mm-hmm. I don't get the same experience. You know what I mean? Like, I get, like, basic AF and all those things, but I don't feel like she's, like, too... She's not, like, funny on social... Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
I feel like her podcast, I think I listened to, like, an episode, probably she comes out more of like mm-hmm. who she is on her podcast. But on like Instagram, where she's like the most followed and like loved out of the whole cast, which is another thing. So anyway, I feel like on Instagram, I don't get to see like that part of her personality, the like funny, witty. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I see like, look at my shoes that it sparkle, which like I less connect to. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. It's a little bit more. Yeah. It's more fashion based than anything else. And I do think she's generously edited. Okay. We have talked about Pump Rules, and I die for Pump Rules, but I need to get your thoughts on all things Housewives. So which franchises do you watch that are on and off air? Like, which are your go-tos?
Well, New Jersey and New York.
Are your top two? Yeah. Only two, Soul
only
two.
Only two, top two, Soul two.
Do you follow other franchises because there might be something that pops off on the show that you'll want to, like, sass about on social, or do you kind of stay away from it?
I stay away, because I feel like that's unfair,
because you don't know? Have the context.
Yeah, because I remember what's that guy's name, David whatever, that he
Bador,
yeah,
his ass. I have it saved on my camera roll for a rainy day.
I have Black China's vagina, okay? So
no! Beach it.
But so many followers, I guess, you know, that don't exactly know what I watch it, send me that and talk about it and whatever. So like I looked into it, I got the gist, but I'm not gonna like make an opinion when I don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, so I don't know. Is it weird that I'm like East Coast only?
No, I think that's really, I think it makes a lot of sense also because you track so many other goings on reality shows that are off Broadway.
Broadway.
Hello. That are off Bravo, that it makes sense that you're like targeting
yeah.
your loves. Have you watched other earlier seasons of other franchises, or you completely haven't at all?
Completely haven't.
So OG of the OC, you know that's Vicky. You don't know that's Vicky.
No, I do.
But you don't know Vicky. Like Cancergate necessarily.
No.
Oh, God.
Or Puppygate for Beverly Hills.
Well, that you're kind of lucky. So Jersey, did you start watching Jersey season one?
I think so. With Thick as Thieves.
Yes.
Was that season one?
Caroline Manzo. I think it was
them.
One.
I loved gangster Jersey. Like the gangsterier, the better to me. You know, like Dina Manzo, Jacqueline, who went berserk.
Jacqueline doesn't live here anymore. Like literally she lives in Vegas in her parents' house.
Oh, really?
Like, also figuratively.
Because I liked her I was like, oh my God, you're going crazy.
But when they used to go get their hair done at Chateau and talk shit, it was magical.
No, it was, those seasons were like, these are like, no, they're in the mafia. Like that's what the husbands do for real. Do you know what I mean? It mm-hmm. felt like so like Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Like what did Caroline Manzo's husband do? Like he's in the mafia.
Well, he would say that he owns and operates the Brownstone, a catering banquet hall in Franklin Lakes. There's some stuff that might be
money laundering for the cartel.
So how do you, the Italian cartel, they're dealing with that pasta that girl in Pump Rules has no idea exists. So what are your thoughts on the new cast of Jersey, which essentially came into being last season and is blown up and out,
which is
season.
Basically
the introduction of Jackie and Jennifer, Margaret Josephs to a different extent.
First of all, Margaret is so good that it almost feels like she's an OG, even though she's not.
She's a spiritual OG. She's like the Dorinda of Jersey.
She legit. And I love that like the pigtails went away. Like mm-hmm. we don't need that forever. I love Margaret. I think she's a real one. I think she's a good friend. I love everything about her. I don't think I knew how I felt about her, like if I cared so much, if she like brings anything really to the table, until I had her on my podcast and she really surprised me. Like she was cool AF.
Cool as in funnier than you thought she would be.
Funnier,
connected, grounded.
Everything. She just like, I feel like on the show, she sort of is like, I don't know, like kind of one dimensional. And her lips annoy me on the show and they like protrude way. I think she fixed it. On the reunion, she looked good.
Good for her.
I think there are genuine friendships there now, which I like. I think Margaret and Jackie are like really, really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Melissa found her like people that she likes, because I think that Melissa like fucking hates Teresa like deep down. You know what I mean? I feel like Dolores, who's like Melissa Gorga, I feel like she doesn't really love her either. So I'm happy that Melissa found her people. I think Jennifer gave great TV, but like her on the reunion, I was like, bitch, trying to get a contract, like, chill out.
Okay, so I posed the question to folks on IG, where all good questions are asked and answered. Whose side are you on, Melissa versus Jennifer? And I was fascinated with the results.
Wait, are you talking just about that at the reunion she accused her of having fake storylines?
Yeah, like whose side are you on specific to the reunion, but you can take that any way you want. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, I'm asking this on the heels of the reunion, but like, tell me your thoughts if there's something else related to an earlier episode or the overall trajectory. 70% said Melissa, 30% said Jennifer. And I want to get your thoughts on this because I have been thinking about it on a loop since the reunion happened. And I have to say that this isn't going to make a ton of sense to you because it's sort of Dallas specific, but I watched the first 15 minutes of the reunion and got the exact opposite, but at the same time, sort of identical response to it that I did watching the first 15 minutes of the Dallas reunion, which was a time in which during part one of the Dallas reunion, Andy went after Leanne so hard and so succinctly and in such a way that I thought it was going to be like, wait until the tail end and like until the last 5 minutes of part three. I wasn't expecting it to come in so hot that I was transfixed. And I was transfixed in a similar way watching Jennifer come in so hot in such an almost not unexplainable way, but like she was going to, it felt like she just decided to go all cylinders fired or whatever the fuck you want to say. You know, like she went in so hard, so tight, so loud, so energetic.
So ballsy.
So ballsy from the jump. Like I was thinking she would do something part two if it was a three-parter, but she started so hot.
Why do you think?
Because she wanted to like make a moment. Yeah. She was like, I'm just going to do whatever the fuck I want. And I cannot believe the amount of love that I feel for Jennifer that I absolutely didn't feel last season.
Wait, you feel love for her?
I know. I'm in the minority. I think she is so fucking entertaining and she's having so much fun that even if she's coming off really hard, I am completely charmed by it. I know. I'm in the minority. I think she's so funny. No, she's just like gives zero fucks and she wants to be, she loves this show. She watched this show. She's now on the show and she's not giving up her shot.
She's not. Yeah, that's the biggest point here. And she's, I mean, more than Jackie. She's really like, listen, I bring the fucking drama. Like, you'll want to keep me. I throw shit. I break shit. I bring shit up with like this. If I went on, I'd be scared of like the OGs, you know, I'd want them to like me. Mm-hmm. She won over Teresa, which is like the most important OG to win over. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what kind of gives her also like the confidence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Teresa loves her. She was fucking talking shit to Melissa and Teresa was sitting there with a smirk on her face.
BCC Dolores, P.S.
BCC Dolores. And Andy even goes to Teresa like, how do you feel about her? And she goes, well, that's her opinion. Imagine your like family member, close friend. Someone was like, Sarah's an awful person. She's all fake. She's disgusting. What do you think, Amanda? And I'd be like, listen, like they think that. That's so awful. I would be like, no, she's a wonderful person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She's not fake. She keeps it real. Like,
that just shows you
the relationship between Teresa and Melissa and how even, oh my God, my favorite. I just got goosebumps, you guys. Goosebumps. The breaking of the fourth wall with the last episode with Teresa getting so mad at the producers for my mom talked to me about this and I was like explaining to her because she didn't get it. My mom didn't get that she because what happened basically for those of you who need a refresher, Danielle Staub met Melissa. How like candid and natural was that meeting, by the way? Like she would so meet up with her.
Melissa was telling her contract wasn't being renewed. Basically, literally what she was doing.
You're not going to be a friend of, so bye.
And Danielle told her.
Danielle, what did you say? Cylinder something?
All loose, cylinders.
All cylinders
fired.
Loose.
I don't know. I don't think I'm saying that correctly.
She was just like, I'm going to take this by the
balls,
whatever. And she was like, well, Teresa told me to do it. Now, if the amazing Bravo people, producers, whatever, didn't show us the clip where Teresa's literally going to Danielle, yeah, pull Margaret's hair, no one would have believed Danielle. Margaret even said, like, oh, I don't believe it. probably what happened that we don't see is that it was corroborated by like producers who were like, oh, we have the clip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then why else would Teresa stand there like in shock, basically admitting to it? Like she knew it was going to be shown.
I think if production got involved, they got involved with Melissa on the van ride to whomever Dolores's like rented house for the night or whatever, to when Melissa's like, is this true? And they're like, yeah, it is. And I think that Teresa didn't have the benefit of even thinking to herself, do they have the footage? She was going off the fact that she couldn't respond. She didn't know how to respond in the moment, and a flat denial wouldn't have done it. Like she just, I don't know if it's a part of her personal
growth. Or maybe she knew that Melissa wouldn't confront her if Melissa wasn't sure that it was legit.
Yeah.
So that's when Teresa flipped off the camera, people, screamed, threw shit, but surprisingly wasn't angry at Melissa, like to her face. Like, that's what I'm saying. People know how this shit works. Like, we're on TV, shit gets aired out, we bring it up. You know what I mean? Like, read the Jax Sandoval pastor thing. Like, I feel like Teresa could have been like, Melissa, why are you bringing it up? You know what I mean?
Do you think that's why she wasn't defending her on the reunion?
It could be, but I think that they always have boiling shit. I think they never really liked each other. I think they never truly, like, Teresa isn't Melissa's type of person. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, but I have to say that the truths that they now have, where it's like, we can fight with each other, we can be catty, but we're not going to try to disturb the relationships with Teresa and Joe's parents or anything else. They've decided, like, we're not going to go to the bottom where we have before. And I think that they have a mutual respect where even if they don't love each other in the sense of, like, I want you to be my best friend, they still have love for each other that I don't think they ever had before Melissa came on the show. It was very strange. Danielle used that to alienate Teresa from the cast by bringing up Melissa, who hadn't been a housewife at that point, as a way to fuck with her during a reunion cycle. Like, there is a history here that these women hated each other for a long time. Then Melissa joined the show. Tree was very mad at Melissa for joining and mad at production for approaching her and Kathy. And now they're at a point where they're like, okay, Teresa's been to federal prison for a year. Her mother died. Joe is stuck in fucking Italy or whatever country he goes to like meet up with whomever, whatever, but he can't go back to the United States possibly forever. And they've realized, and Teresa has realized, that as she has grown as a person and been like less of a twat, there are benefits to that. Like, I think Teresa was isolating herself from her entire family. A lot of that might have been manipulation by her husband, P.S., but she decided to hold a grudge and do things that weren't appropriate. I think watching that scene in that moment with Teresa, how can you not feel that she did what Melissa accused her of during Strippergate? You know, like,
yeah.
It's hard to watch it and be like, oh, but that other stuff was totally bullshit, made up and didn't happen. She had no, you have to understand that there's a connection here. But I also think that Teresa has actually truly grown as a person. And so there are two feelings that I had that I cannot believe if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said, go fuck yourself. One is that I feel empathy for Teresa and don't have like an immediate visceral hatred when I see her.
Her four daughters.
I love her four daughters. I like love her four daughters. And I love that she's like taking these like little steps towards setting boundaries with her strange husband.
That's what I was going to say. She really shone.
Yes.
With how she was with Joe and how like we haven't been through that, but that's like, you can understand that. There's no going back, like, from what Joe did, what he put her through,
right,
and what he's still not taking ownership for. Like, right. There's not one person who's like, Teresa, like, bone him tonight. Right. You know, like, we get it. Like, if he sat there and cried, but he's literally like, oh, like, everyone does it. Like, you're in the hills of, like, some Italian. You're not in, like, Milano. Like, you're not in, like, where are you? Like, there's no, you, did you see the hotel they stayed at? They stayed at a fucking motel. Like, you're not in, like, prime location over here, Joe. Like, you fucked up and you're being you're in denial that this is like the way it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? Like, no, like imagine like going from the castle he lived at to like the hills of
an actual castle, the castle of Franklin Lakes to like the wherever he's in now. And he should feel very fucking fortunate that he at least had a huge extended family and spoke the language where he was shuffled off. Cause not everybody had that kind of privilege.
But I agree with you. Cause I feel like I never really liked Teresa, and I feel like there were moments where she kind of gained my empathy and my like, okay, like, and listen, she's a good mother. She is taking care of her children. They both are. That moves me. You know what I mean? I feel like Joe is an awful person, but he's a father.
And he's co-parenting for maybe the first time in his entire life.
Right. And you can't say that for all fathers. Like, there are shitty fathers out there. So I respect his, like, whatever he did and like whatever shitty person he is, like his daughters love him, you know?
And that is, I mean, like, point one, cannot believe this, that I feel the kind of empathy for Teresa that I do. Point two is I am fucking charmed and entertained by Jennifer Aiden, MD.
If you spiritual would say, MD. If you would say doctorate entertained,
shit stirring,
I'd be like, okay. If you're like charmed, I'm shook.
I just think she's so, listen, guys, I need to just read some satchels because I know I'm in the minority here. Okay, so a satchel of gold from LaWanda in Detroit. Jennifer behaves like the bully she's trying to protect her daughter from. I don't know if she's bullying. Do you think she's bullying? I don't think she's bullying, but I get that sense.
I think she stirred a lot of shit, but the franchise can probably thank her because I don't know what else would have gone down this season aside from the Danielle thing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, she brought it.
Another Jen related satchel from Jen in Jersey City. Jennifer is literally the craziest. I totally don't get how she doesn't think she's a bully. She was in attack mode from the moment she got on stage. Again, I'm not.
She was in attack mode, though.
She was in attack mode, but I just thought it was fucking
like,
hilarious.
Why would she come for Melissa? Like, why'd she decide to come for Melissa and say, like, and wait, Sarah, though, to talk about, like, babies, like, that's something you don't talk about.
So here's where
to talk about, like, if you want a baby or don't want a baby, that's, like, that I feel like that's something you don't touch. Like, you can be loudmouth, you can be whatever. Yeah,
I totally hear you. And here's where I think she fucked up on her delivery a little bit. She was saying that this was all manufactured, and that's when I started screaming because I was like, oh my god, this is completely manufactured. I felt like it was completely manufactured.
Yeah, a lot of people
she fucked
did.
Up when she was like, it's because she's too self-absorbed, because I think either she thought she couldn't say it's directly for the show or whatever. So she was coming up with these other reasons that I don't think made as much sense and were as powerful. So she said she's self-absorbed and then whatever about career, yada yada, whereas I wanted her to say, like, relating to the garbage truck that never meant anything, or envy.
She did,
or, well, a viewer did, and then she was like, hallelujah, amen.
Oh,
but
I wanted her
to be like, in the moment, you did this for the show to stay on the show, which I think she could have done.
She
was like 70% there, but then she fucked it by using these things that didn't make sense, by saying, like, someone told me that you are very self-absorbed. Like, that's not as powerful as saying it's manufactured, a lot of people agree with you, but you don't pull it in from how are you going to parent. That's where you get fucked up.
Right. But I mean, again, this goes, it's like real life. Like, why would someone just come for someone?
Yeah.
But then we have to remember, like, this is TV. That's what's happening. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because as a normal, you know, day-to-day person, I'm like, why would she just come in so hard, come for Melissa, tell her all this shit when Melissa didn't do anything to her that moment? But then it's like, wait, this is a reality TV show. That's like part of the game. But I agree with you. I think most people do, though, Sarah. I think so many people thought the baby thing was...
It didn't make any sense.
It didn't make sense.
It just didn't make sense in the context that I think the production is trying to figure out how to use Melissa when so much of Melissa's power is related to just her genuine, obvious, literal relationship with Teresa and the fact that she's married to Joe, and Joe is very charismatic.
Mm.
And so what do you do with Melissa? Like, when we know her family life, because we have spent... It's easier for Margaret to talk about bankruptcy, for Jen Aiden to talk about whatever with Bill and kids and the amazing moving element and story relating to her mom and brother finding themselves.
I cried, yeah.
Amazing. But with Melissa, it's like she's been on the show for a long time.
Like, what are you bringing?
What are you bringing? What are you doing? And it feels like the stuff that she is doing is kind of artificial.
I can see that.
I have a satchel from Josh in Seattle. Jen is messy in her delivery, but spot on in her assessment of Melissa. She's pretty but boring and hasn't brought any actual story to the show since her feud with Teresa. She's like a Cynthia. I don't mind them being around, but she doesn't bring anything of substance to the show. She's been peddling fake and contrived storylines for years, but would be a good friend of. And there's an element of Melissa where I'm like,
see, people think that.
I think she would be a good friend of, because I think that her responses sometimes in very, very heightened moments, like in the specific moments with Danielle, when there's a fight, when something else is happening, she's dynamic, she's charismatic, and she's powerful. But I don't think she can carry a storyline, because I don't think that there's anything naturally going on in her life that requires one. And if we're struggling with Dolores this season, where it's like, are you gonna fuck your ex-husband? No. Okay, cool, bye. Like, what else is there like that's going on? Like, you're with this guy David who's like walking all over you, you're admitting it, everybody else sees it. I don't really care about whether or not you guys are gonna get married, because it doesn't feel like this is a relationship going anywhere. Yeah. Where marriage will mean anything for you. So, but like, if we're gonna have that critique against Dolores, how can we not have it with Melissa?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, you're making really, really good points. And I think that the general public agrees with that. I think Jen's, you're right, delivery was off, and also she came in like way too hot. But also like ballsy, like, let's talk about this. Like, new people are usually a little bit more, you know, like careful and a little bit more like kissing ass. And she gives zero fucks. You know what I mean? She fucked with Jackie at the beginning. And I was like, okay, you're both new. Like, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And Margaret last season, where it was like, that's the most new.
Yeah. Yeah. But like coming from Melissa and like not caring, you know, if like maybe Teresa would, you know, have Melissa's back. But that, I mean, it's a really good point about Melissa and her fake storylines. I mean, the sister, the long lost sister.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then Andy mentioned it and she kind of trolled off. And was
and
like,
those
well.
Scenes with her mom and sisters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel bad, but I don't at all. Not a single percentage of me does. Like, because it's, I just don't. I mean, she's not. Obviously, it's weird for me to even say her delivery was bad, when it's like, sure, there are things that she said that I completely disagreed with towards the tail end when it got into the stuff with Margaret and her kids. That's when I was like, oh, Jen, this is not the fight. But the stuff at the beginning.
Oh, you had them. Okay. Now I know. Now it's like, what?
I just didn't
who
know.
Are you?
Yeah, she knew that was a trigger and was like, but I just genuinely wanted to know. I'm like, no, I don't totally buy that. But the stuff at the beginning, I'm like, yeah, good for you. Like, you joined the show last year. You had bad instincts. They didn't reflect well on you. People weren't necessarily charmed by you. You course corrected. And if you course corrected too much, but we're getting rewarded for that too much of a course correction, where it's like you're going way overboard, but it's really funny. Mm-hmm. I have no issue with
that. And she is funny. I mean, she does those imitations pretty well. She did of like the whole group.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? Like, she has real sass. She has real sass. But I feel like she does take it too far a bunch. But I guess the show needed it this season.
We're so grateful to have her. We're so grateful to have her extra. Yeah. I feel like it's so interesting to me that Jersey has come to the place. Jersey started last season. It seemed like I was in the minority. Everyone really liked it from the jump. And I was very wary of what was happening. And then I got hooked in, I want to say like halfway through. And then this season from the jump, it's just been like hot, 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 hot.
Yeah.
It's good. Although I don't know that the reunion. Yeah, the reunion was good. I was going to take it back and say, like, was it as strong as I thought it was?
I mean, we
be?
Have two more parts.
Yeah, I think it was like, I think it was good. This whole bullshit lead up with Danielle, and is she going to get a seat because she's an OG?
Oh,
when,
yeah,
sweetie, no one has wanted you to be full time on this show. You're not a cast member. Why do you think you're going to get a special position? And P.S., I'm not going to go on stage unless, of course, we all know, because you're desperate to be there. You will lay on the floor if that's the only position available. And she's in a fucking folding chair or whatever, the Jersey version of it, on the side. It's like the worst possible situation.
Wait, they showed that. dead already?
Yeah, they showed a picture of her talking to Andy, who's like 17 miles away, and she's not even on a sectional. Like, oh, they could have rented a larger couch.
Oh my
they
God, that's
didn't
on purpose.
Because we all hate you. And I love that the lead up is like, I'm not going to go out there while the makeup artist, that does, whatever her name is, who does like literally every housewife's makeup, like she's like in it to win it, is like putting on her shadow. I'm not going to go out there because I'm an original housewife. And they tell Andy, and Andy does his like little walk of shame to knock on her door or whatever, and we all know what happens. And the fact that she's fake retired, like, why do you think this whole retirement happened?
Yeah, why can't we make more waves and be like, we're letting a housewife go? Is that in the contract? Like,
well, I think it's helpful to her that she, again, hasn't been a full-time housewife for at least 35 years, which is magical that they're only on season 10 when I know. Yeah, I think that they give them an out, like the Leanne stuff. Leanne was absolutely fired, but they did, Leanne from Dallas, but they decide they that she can put out a statement saying she's focused on philanthropy. They let the women leave of their own accord because they are personalities. And who is going to announce in a press release that so-and-so has been fired unless it was like a related to maybe like a sexual harassment or something else where they feel like this helps the network and shows that they're like drawing a line. Otherwise, they give women the out. Because we all know.
If Teresa and Danielle didn't have that explosion, if they wouldn't have fired her.
How so?
That's I'm saying because they fought like they're for real not speaking, Teresa and Danielle.
Right. Like Teresa unfollowed her.
Which is why probably she's not asked back because she's actually not friends with everyone. I'm wondering if Danielle didn't out Teresa. And they would still be friends if she would be still not
I'm
fired.
Sure, because there's nothing that hurts Teresa in that dynamic. Like Danielle just shoves her head up Teresa's ass and does whatever the fuck she thinks needs to
Wasn't
get done.
Wasn't it so funny when they were like arguing who's going to pay for like a coffee and avocado toast? Like you're supposed to be housewives. Like argue over like who's going to take you home in a helicopter.
And
it's we're talking about coffee. It's like, I got it. No, I got it, honey. Obviously, Danielle was like,
Danielle doesn't have it.
Yeah, Danielle did the fake, like, reach for wallet move.
Which I always do and have never once met in my entire life. And Teresa's like, I've got it because I'm making a salary. Like, I've got it because maybe
you're
technically on a technicality. We're both OGs, but one of us is making money and the other one is being forced out of her ex-husband's home where she films kitchen videos
because she's
trying to start a kitchen series.
Oh my God, stop.
It's awful.
I can't.
It's her dealing with raw meat and it's like, this is just what you got from inside your heart and soul. This is what remains is like some sort of cow byproduct. So is Jersey your favorite? So you said you watched Jersey in New York. Is Jersey your fave?
Well, now that you put it like that, I don't know. Because I was telling you before we started that New York, like, I feel like New York fans, like, if I'm like, ugh, the season was a snooze, New York fans are like, they are never a snooze. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, I can watch New York women sleep and be entertained. Mm-hmm. People take it a little far. Where mm-hmm. I'm like, the way you're talking about Melissa, like, we can talk about Sonja, you know? That's what I call her. I'm saying like we can say that shit about New York people too. But like I feel like some like New York has like really obsessive fans. Mm-hmm. And like you can't say that. You can't be like, I don't care about Dorinda Robics or whatever. You know what I mean? What's it called?
That is what I wish that my number one regret about BravoCon
is not going to her aerobics
was
class.
Not going and going to the Orange County panel instead. I thought it was going to be a genuine workout and I have like this crazy disorder. I can't, my sweating is like all fucked up so I can't work. So I got nervous that I was going to be in a room with people like literally running and then I'd feel like a fuck up. And then I saw video of it and I was like, no, people are like clapping and just watching her.
Is it Dorinda aerobics? What's it called?
I think it's Dorinda aerobics. And it looked like the most fun that a person could ever have in their entire life. I need to, hopefully BravoCon happens.
Part two.
And that opportunity is still available.
Do you not feel that though? I feel like you're looking everywhere. Do you not feel
I don't feel
like,
I disagree with you. Yeah.
Oh, you disagree?
Yeah. I think the best of New York, aside from Potomac, mm-hmm. which has the benefit of only being now almost five seasons in versus New York's 12, 13, 14, whatever the fuck we're on. I think it's 12. Potomac has the benefit of not having had to go through the sometimes awkward seasons that happen after after several years. But I think you stack New York's worst, which I would say is maybe 5, 6, potentially 7, but I would disagree with myself, against Jersey's worst, which is 5, I want to say, with the Twins and with the Marchese's, the worst people to have ever graced Bravo, aside from maybe Kenya's husband and a couple others.
So you're saying New York's worst is still better than other shows?
Yes.
I got it.
And I will say that New York's worst is rewatchable and Jersey's worst literally removed a year of my life.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that.
But there are diehard. I mean, like, I consider myself a New York diehard. The problem is that, like, Potomac artistically is at such a point of excellence that it's like, it's difficult to argue that New York is the best franchise on TV when you have Potomac, which is truly exemplary. And if there was a franchise that you should start watching,
it's Potomac.
And you also don't have to go through 15 seasons of it. You only have 4 and they are nutso. Like, you don't even have to watch the first one. You can skip the first season if you want to and watch 2, 3, 4. You're gonna have thoughts on Michael and Ashley Darby's marriage and relationship that we could discuss over the course of like 5 to 14 hours.
Episodes of Andy's Girls.
So who's your favorite New York housewife? Who's your favorite Orange County? Not Orange County. Who's your favorite Jersey housewife?
I don't have a
Do you have
favorite.
A favorite? No. Do you pick favorites?
I love Margaret. Yeah. So I'll say maybe Margaret right now stands out. New York. I don't know. Used to be Bethany, but I'm kind of over her.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that Bethany decided to insert herself into the Meghan Markle of it all and say, I would never leave a situation or job she should have known better, belikeme.com, when Bethany herself up and left this most recent season of New York, like either the day production started or the night before.
I feel like shit went to her head so hard, like Stassi style, you know?
Also, speaking of Jen Aiden, can you fucking believe that Jen Aiden made a Crypt Keeper joke about Bethany Frankel? I forgot that that moment happened. And when they repeated it on the reunion, I was filled with so much admiration and love for Jennifer Aiden, who took on one of the most successful, if not the most successful housewife. Who's beloved. People that are Bethany stans are two, maybe even louder and more aggressive than LVP stans, like truly, because they take it to heart.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Unbelievable.
That's the thing, what I'm saying about Jennifer, like ballsy, not only going after easy to, like Beth, like I'd be scared. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what do you think this New York is going to be like without Bethany?
I don't think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be some weird drunk moments, a lot of darkness. Sonia's not doing great, but the focus is on Dorinda.
That's what I'm saying. You were talking about Melissa. You were talking about Melissa. What did Sonja bring the last few, you know,
drunk
season?
Sloppy mess. Right. She can be funny, but that's why you can have that in small doses, but that can't be the focus of a season.
Right.
And I'm also nervous about how sensitive production will be around the idea that Luann has the right to do whatever the fuck she wants and is no longer on probation. But the idea that maybe it'll be comical or a joke that she's drinking again. I'm nervous about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, even about Sonja. Like, when she, like, almost broke. No, I can't not.
Killing me. I'm obsessed with it.
When she fell and almost, like, broke her head when they were, like, away in Cuba or something. I'm lying.
Colombia? No, that was Ramona had a fucked up ankle. When did she almost break her head?
Do you remember they had to bring like paramedics? Like,
my bad. Off the table.
Off the table. Like, that's
and Dorinda
insane.
Cut herself, like, with a knife. Dorinda was bleeding.
Like, oh my God, they're such. So I'm saying, like, there's a line between like, you're so drunk it's funny, and like, you might die, and like, this is dangerous. So Luann, I mean, that's even a step higher because she's supposed to be sober, or maybe not anymore. But even for these like 60-year-old women being obliterated, like dangerously so, like when Dorinda is drunk, can you deal with like the way she speaks and you can't understand her? Like, drunk girl to the max. So I mean, that's entertaining, but yeah, that can't be the whole. And like Tinsley, what is she gonna, is she with Scott now with Scott? Like, that's her storyline, you know?
And is she quitting the show? Is she not quitting the show? Is half of her, she says she didn't quit till the end of production, or isn't quitting or whatever the fuck. But I assume that her not showing up to events is gonna be a part of what's shown.
And
like her, them talking about her absence.
And like Barbara, friend of that wasn't too interesting. Is that going to happen again?
No, she's off because Luann hates her for once saying you have a problem. Luann's like...
That's funny. Luann is going to be like queen, the queen bee right now.
And she's got her new cabaret show.
She's so happy Bethany's gone. Like, she couldn't be happier.
Ramona, Luann... And me, I don't know how, if Sonia gives a shit, maybe Dorinda are all probably fucking
celebrating,
thrilled.
Yeah.
But they're going to maybe regret that. Not to say that Bethany was necessary, but I absolutely think that she needed to have left and given production a little bit of time to, I guess if the theme is like course correcting, to course correct, because they're not going to be, you cannot make at this point in the game, based on the quality of their previous seasons,
yeah,
like... frenetic energy and chaos does not a great season make. Like, right. You still need to have a narrative. You still need to have some voice,
like,
to the audience
too, because Bethany, yeah, always showed a lot of emotion. She cries, mm-hmm, you know, she shares her personal story. So yeah, I wonder what the season's gonna be like.
Yeah, I got a little nervous during the New York BravoCon panel because it felt like Lou was playing to the crowd in a way that I thought she had grown up from.
I wasn't
with
there.
Like one-liner stuff where I'm like, oh, I don't, where she literally like would turn to the audience and like present herself of like, and here's my funny line, and it was it did not really go over. Oh, so that God. Made me slightly nervous because I was like, this is not, we have literally turned the corner into caricature, and oh, someone God. Needs to be popping some of these bubbles, otherwise
Bethany
we're just gonna
to,
float
like,
away.
Recap the episodes.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure she will.
Yeah, you think?
I'm sure in her own special way that, yeah, will be nowhere near as great for us, the viewers,
yeah,
the most important element of this. I'm sure that she will be responding to something, yeah, but it won't be enough. It will never be enough.
Yeah.
This was magical and totally enough. Can we, let me see how
totally
we're doing.
Enough?
Totally more than enough. Everything
oh,
I've ever needed
way.
And more. Oh no, that in the best possible oh, okay. way. This like made my heart full.
Me too. You know what I was thinking while we were talking?
Tell me everything.
As if we're like curing cancer. Like,
aren't we?
The importance of this is like, people don't understand. Like, there are two facets to this. A, we really love it and talking about it, but also like, escapism is a real thing and it's helpful. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that. I think that, you know, for me, I grew up, always loved celebrities, always loved reality TV, always loved that shit. And at times was like embarrassed a little bit. Like, I'm superficial, I'm shallow. Does that mean I'm not smart? But this shit, like talking about Housewives for 2 hours, I'm not thinking about coronavirus. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I completely agree
so
with
great.
You.
Great. So I was thinking that while we were talking, I'm like, we're so passionate, like as if like this is the most important thing. And you could put it in perspective, or you could not, and you could like take your mind off like awful things, you know?
That's what I think is so helpful about Housewives, Bravo, and this kind of universe that we live in and celebrate and love, because you can kind of get out of it whatever you want. You can watch it and be fascinated and follow these women as caricatures and nothing more, and you have every right to do that. You can look at these women as a reflection of where we are in society, how they deal with certain negative behaviors now versus 4 years ago, and like focus on that. You can get a window into how you behave and celebrate that you're not going to do the fucking nightmare shit that maybe Sexy J will do, and at least feel more confident as a result to that, or look at these women and empathize because maybe you as a viewer have been through a similar situation and watch their story plays out, maybe connects to something that you're going on in your life. That's also why I'm so glad you joined me today, because what I'm interested in is not necessarily like recapping alone without giving perspective, which you can get by reading certain blogs or whatever else. What I'm interested in is like talking about these women and how we relate to them as a part of the world in which we technically coexist. Like, mm-hmm, that's where the conversation starts for me. And I had somebody reach out to me, and then like a bunch of people responded that was like, thanks for creating a community where it's like smart thinkers. And that's why I love to hear from Andy's Girls listeners, because we all thinking is not a bad thing. Like, mm-hmm, reasoning, ability, intellectual conversation is a good thing, something to be celebrated, and something that I'm so happy to do on Andy's Girls through the Housewives. So all the better for it. I love this episode. Can we talk about Love is Blind on a Patreon app? Do you have time? Can we talk about Love is Blind? Are you dying?
I need a nap.
We're going to very briefly, okay, but for maybe 6 hours, talk about Love is Blind because your recaps of it are fascinating and I need to talk to you about, okay, I need to walk through my thoughts on the reunion.
Oh my God, my hand fell asleep. Yeah.
So guys, if you're not following the Andy Scrolls Patreon and supporting AG the best way you know how, by giving me your money, then you should be doing that at patreon.com.
That was so cute.
Andy Scrolls, thanks. Don't roll your eyes. Tell the people, Amanda Hirsch, how to follow your magnificent Insta and listen to your pod.
Not skinny but not fat, Instagram and podcast everywhere you find and can listen. And I mean, that's basically it, you guys.
That is,
see, I'm such
it.
A businesswoman. Follow me at NOT. No, if you enjoy this shit, then like come enjoy it with me. That's it, you guys.
You guys.
I don't know. I legit look tired, right?
No, you look amazing and refreshed. We're going to talk about Love is Blind. Okay. I'm going to love you
Thank
forever.
Thank you, babe. Thank
this
you.
Was amazing. Can't wait to kiki with you soon. The second that New York comes back, you're coming on the People's Couch once again.
Is this where it's at?
This is where it's
I'm
at.
I'm on the People's Couch right now.
Yeah. God bless. Mazel. Okay, guys, we'll talk to you soon. Shalom. Bye-bye.